This morning I'd like to share with us regarding the topic, Gift to God. Before I kick off with a verse, I'd like to share a testimony with you. In another setting, another town, we were involved in a young lady's life. And this lady had, unfortunately, two abortions already in her lifetime. And she was about 22, 23 years old. Very sad history, and she came to know God, and she got saved, but she was still very broken and very distraught. And what happened is we organized an outreach as a congregation in another town, and we decided to go to a region in the town that was very rough, and folks that that were doing wrong things lived in these apartment blocks. There was a lot of drugs involved in this area, and alcohol abuse, etc., etc. And what we did is we went to every flat and we gave them a 2-liter bottle of Coke, and we said, we want to bless you with this and say that God loves you, and there's no strings attached. We're just giving it to you and say that Jesus loves you. And we didn't say much more than that. And it took some doing to get her motivated to do this outreach. And eventually she said, no, she'd like to do the outreach, but she's so scared of people, she's so fearful, she's so introverted, she just didn't have the confidence to do this. But eventually she went, and at one stage, the person that was walking with her got stuck in a previous flat talking to the folks, giving the 2-liter bottle of Coke as a gift. And the next door she went to, she stood there, and they'd knocked, and the other girl had ran back, and the person opened, and the person said, you know, how can I help you? He said, well, I want to give you this 2-liter bottle of Coke. And she thought that would be the end of the discussion. And the person said, please, won't you pray for me? She'd never prayed for anybody in her life before. And so she went, and she, in her simple way, laid her hands upon this person in this flat, and she started praying. And afterwards, she came to me. She said, Mac, it was the most glorious experience I've ever had in my life. She said, baggage upon baggage fell off my shoulders. The past has been washed away. She said, I experienced such the glory of God, like a heaven. And Mac, I've been healed. I've been healed from my past. As I was praying for this man, God was touching me. He said, I was shaking, and the raw, awesome, splendor, powerful presence of Holy Spirit was upon me, Mac. It was so great. It was so good. It was so awesome. And I'm telling you this story for this very reason. And I want to read Psalm 116, verses 12. It says, the psalmist does, we don't know who wrote the psalm, but the psalmist says, what can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? And she'd given her life to God, and as a broken person, she felt she's going to do an outreach. She's going to give something back to God, even though she felt she didn't have much to give. But it's not about her giving. It's about God giving through her. And so the psalmist makes this amazing statement, what can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? And I've often asked that question. Have you asked that question? God, what can I do? Because that which you've done to me or for me is so insurmountable, is so large. What can I possibly do to give back to you? And what it says to me about this psalmist is this psalmist is in a spiritual place of moderate maturity. If you think of these little babies, If you have to logically think about parenthood and babies, it makes no sense. Because all that the baby does is the baby takes and takes and takes. Does the baby give anything really back? Maybe a smile. And the fact that the baby's so cute, but the baby doesn't think about giving back to you. And so too a little toddler, if you think of little toddlers, and there's one toy for them to share, you will never get them to share it, am I right? The one grabs it, the other one grabs it, and there's a wrestle and a screaming and a crying and a shouting, "Mine, mine, mine, mine." So for somebody to come to a place in their life where they say, "What can I give back to God?" says there must be a measure of maturity in this person's life. And I would say a young man comes to a place when he's grown up in his parents' home and he's seen how God has blessed him. With a young man, I can see my son coming to that place where he thinks, "What can I give back to my father and mother? How can I serve my parents?" Naturally, we have to lead and guide him in that. And we have to say to him, "You need to give back." All right, but there comes a stage in a man and a woman's life where they think of laying themselves down and think, "But is there something that I can give back to my parents? Is there something that I can give back to the Lord?" So this realization has come to the psalmist. The measure, the width, the breadth of God's goodness, God's unmerited favor has hit this person that's written the psalm. And he says, "What can I do to give back?" Now, there's another little story I want to share with you. And it's about a man. He was very involved in Satanism that we dealt with and we walked a road with him. And this guy was a warlock in Satanism. Now, I'm not quite too sure at what position, but that seems to be quite severe, Satanism. And what he had to experience as a young boy, he had to experience, unfortunately, a terrible thing that I'm about to tell you. And he had to experience 4 men rape and kill his mother at the age of 12. And that made him decide in his heart, he's giving up on God, he's giving up on mankind, he's given up on anything good coming from anybody. And a few months ago, he came to know the Lord. Supernaturally, a person walking past him on the beach saw him very sad, sat next to him, and then said to him, "Have you ever given Jesus a chance in your life?" And subsequently, he came to know the Lord. And getting to know him, he had a bit of a hatred towards God. He hated God because he thought, "How could God have done this, allowed this to happen to me and my mother?" Only parent he knew. He never knew his father. And he loved God in the one sense, and he hated God in the other sense. And he had to come to the place where he had to acknowledge, "But I don't like the Lord." But then once he realized, because he never really comprehended the extreme harmful things he had done to other people during his Satanism. And once it dawned upon him that God has forgiven him for the most vilest of vile crimes done to other human beings, once he realized it, immediately he said, "What can I do to give back to God?" When he realized the insurpassable, nearly ununderstandable power of God's forgiveness for all of his many, many severe, and I cannot start sharing the severe things that he was involved with as a Satanist. And the Lord washed him pure as snow. And then he said, "I want to testify." And he testified in front of a group of people and said, "I want to thank God. And I'm saying, God, what can I do to give back to you?" We cannot take what God has done for us for granted. It demands that we stand up and say, "God, there's something that I must give you back." And it's interesting, the specific a child of God cannot come to a place where you demand and you stand on your rights. You just say, "God, everything I do, all that I am, just comes from you. And there's no way that I can live my life outside of you." A person that says, that wrote the psalm is a person that says, "I'm not bragging about what I've done for God. I'm not flippant about what he's done for me. But a ton of appreciation has hit me. A ton of realization, but wow, my God, look what you have done for me." And this person that wrote the psalm knows that he has to give something back for all that God has done for him. Now he starts to answer this question. He states the question in Psalm 12. What can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? And he starts answering it in verse 13. He says the following. He says, I will lift up a cup symbolizing his salvation. I will lift up a cup symbolizing his salvation. And very interestingly enough, if you look at Matthew 26, verse 27, it says, Jesus took the cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, each of you drink from it. Drink from my cup. Or what does the Holy Communion represent? Wat verteenwoordig die nagmaal? Dit verteenwoordig die hoogtepunt vir die rede hoekom Jesus aarde toe gekom het. Dit verteenwoordig waar die Here sê, ek gee my lewe prys sodat ek die mensdom kan red. Ek laat my bloed uitstort sodat ek mense sondes kan wegwas. So when this psalmist, and I really believe the psalmist is prophetically speaking about Jesus Christ, when he says, I lift up my cup, I lift up a cup, symbolizing his salvation. I believe, according to these few verses, to show our gratefulness, we are to give others what he gave to us. And this is what this cup being raised symbolizes. He was speaking of Jesus coming and raising the cup and saying, I'm going to lay down my life. And this cup symbolizes my sacrifice to save the world. And interestingly enough, this psalmist says, I will raise up my cup, symbolizing his salvation. There's a clear connection between Christ and this psalm spoken of here. Now, when we raise a cup, think practically. When you take a cup and you raise it, you're thanking him demonstratively. You're demonstrating your appreciation by raising the cup, symbolizing his salvation. It is a show and expression of gratefulness. Would you agree with me? It's saying, I'm grateful. Look at this cup of salvation. This cup symbolizing my salvation. So the first point in us giving back to God, if we look at what Christ has done for us, we must take action. If you want to give back to God, and that's where the psalmist says, what can I give back to God? The first thing you and I have to do, what we can learn from raising up a cup is, I must take action. Because he raised the cup, he took action. He said, this cup symbolizes my salvation. Jesus went into action to save the world. He came to the earth and he died on the cross to save us. The question we have to ask ourselves, have we reached a level of so much appreciation and gratefulness for all that he has done for us? Have we responded to that ton that he's given us? Has that realization hit us that we say, God, we're going to take action in giving back to you? As Jesus took action coming to the earth, we want to take action in giving you somehow something back for all that you've done for me. So the cup says action. It's taking action. Action to spread the gospel. Action to make a difference in other people's lives. The second thing that the cup symbolizes, it symbolizes to make attractive our gratefulness. You're raising the cup. You're saying, I'm thanking God for his salvation. This cup symbolizes it. You making attractive your gratefulness. So raising the beaker, saying, Lord, I want everybody to see that I am grateful towards you. I'm grateful for that which you have done for me. And we see that clearly when Christ says in Matthew 11, verses 25. Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father. Jesus stood before multitudes and he said, I thank you, Father. This is Jesus that does miracles. This is Jesus that is a great person in Israel. And he's saying to all of us, he's showing us by example, I thank you, Father. I'm making my gratefulness attractive because who I am is an attractive being. People are attracted to Jesus because of what he's done. Let people be attracted to us because of our testimony. Let people say, but that man is so grateful towards God. I'm attracted to his gratefulness towards God. And therefore, I'm attracted to Jesus Christ. He is drawing me closer. My testimony is drawing him closer, or drawing me closer to the Lord. So Jesus says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. The third symbol of this cup being raised is to put on display our appreciation. We have to put on display that which we are thankful for. Jesus, would you agree, was on display? He came to the earth. He walked the streets. He was mingling amongst the people. He was talking and laughing. He even had socials with people. But he put himself on display when he prayed for the sick. When he healed the sick, he put himself on display for all to see. We must make a fuss. To give back to God is to make a fuss of his goodness. Om 'n groot boeheid te maak oor sy goedheid. Dis 'n manier om vir God terug te gee. So Jesus was making a fuss, and he says, the way for you to give back to me is to show that which I've done for you towards others. To make a fuss of his goodness. Not as a boast. No, we don't brag in ourselves. But as a lure, a aas. Ons sit 'n aas daar uit. So ons maak ons waardering so bekend aan mense. Hulle sien, maar hierdie persoon waardeer die Here deur en deur. En maak ons, trek ons hulle nader na die Here. Ons sit 'n aas daar uit vir hulle, deur ons waardering vir God. So that others may seek and search and be attracted to our God and His salvation. By that we put on display our appreciation. On display. The next symbolism of this cup being raised up, it's an invitation. When you sit at a table and you raise the cup up and the other people sitting opposite you on the table, do they feel invited to raise their cup up as well? They do. They raise their cup and you hit the two glasses or the two cups. It's an invitation. We are to invite. So to say, to give back to God is to invite others. To partake in that which we've tasted. To come. Matthew 11 verses 28 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. What are we to invite them to? To exactly that. God has taken our burdens off, as he did for that young lady praying for that person. She felt like a new person after she prayed for somebody. After she gave, God touched her. So God is saying, you giving back to me is somebody that says, Lord, I will be used by you as an invitation, as a cup raising up your salvation. Come, be part of my party. Be part of my joy, my happiness. Join the celebration. I invite you, world. I invite you, backslidden Christian. I invite you, struggling Christian. I invite you, come be part of my breakthrough in my life. Come see, come taste and see that God is good. Come join in our healing. Come join in his provision. Come join in his peace. Come join in his joy. Come join in his love. Come join in his acceptance. Come join in his embrace. Come join in. I invite you to partake in his care, to partake in his concern, in his safety, his security. I invite you. The cup symbolizes invitation. That's how we say thank you to God. That's how we give back to God. It's by making our lives an invitation to others. To display Christ to others. To show forth our appreciation for Christ to others. The beaker symbolizes another thing. And we see that it symbolizes fellowship. Matthew 22, the first part, 4a, says, the feast has been prepared. It says there's a fellowship that we as children of God are part of and will become more and more part of. That big, great wedding feast of the Lamb. Come become part of that. Come become part of our fellowship. There's a fellowship for you to be part of. There's a friendship. There's a party to partake. There's pleasure to partake of at this feast. There's abundance of provision. It's all on display through your and my life. This is how we give back to God. We're getting the answers of how to give back to God. We're giving back to God by saying to folks, I am a display of godly fellowship. I'm a display of the amazing thing it is to be a reborn Christian. I'm inviting you to partake in this fellowship with me, in this party, this enjoyment. It's available to everybody. For all he has done for me. It's available from us to others as a show of our appreciation to God. I want to read that again. It should be available from us to others as a show of our appreciation to God for all that he has done for me. The next symbol of the beaker is a cup. Represents the cup of salvation raised, speaks of thirst being quenched. You drink a cup for? Because you're thirsty. Thirst being quenched. Who do you think is very thirsty out there? Matthew 5 verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The world is thirsting for what you and I have. To say thank you to God, to give back to God, we have to say, come and drink of my thirst quencher. Come and drink from that which I have experienced from God. Our appreciation shown to God is luring others to him as our thirst quencher. They're not going to know he quenches thirst unless they can see it in us. They're only going to know he quenches thirst when they see, but he's quenching my thirst and your thirst. And to be a show of his salvation, a cup raised up, we have to invite them and say, come. The Samaritan woman, what did Christ say to the Samaritan? Christ said to the Samaritan woman, if you drink from my water, you'll never thirst again. And the Lord is saying, if you want to give back to me, my child, show forth who I am. Show forth that I will quench the thirst of people that are thirsty. What we can do for him is to make this drink available to others. The next symbol of the beaker being raised is, if there's a beaker with liquids, that says what else comes with the liquids? Solids. So the beaker being raised as a quench thirster says that the next thing is sustenance is available. There's solid food available. Let my life draw others to the solid food that God has given me. This is how I give back to God. Solid food, sustenance is available. Matthew 5 verse 6 says, once again, the same verse, blessed are those who hunger. So you've got hunger, you come to a reborn Christian that wants to give back to God. And he shows you what he's eaten. And he gives you some of what he's eaten from the Spirit of God. The Word of God is compared to bread. Bread that satisfies hunger. The Holy Spirit of God is compared to water that quenches our thirst, our spiritual thirst. So solid food is available. It so clearly hints and declares to others that there's more to this party than just a drink. There's some sustenance. He is a quencher of spiritual thirst and a feeder of spiritual hunger. The next thing that this beaker symbolizes, it symbolizes victory. You don't raise your beaker up as a symbol of God's salvation when you're downtrodden and depressed. Do you agree with me? You raise it up as a victory. You're saying, I am victorious. And what victory are we talking here? Part of giving back, listen carefully to this, part of our giving back is to engage in our victory through him. How will others know that the gospel we preach, the gospel we live, the gospel that we partake of is victorious when we are not a show of victory? Amen and ayna. We must be a show of victory. So, to embrace. Now, how do I show victory? I embrace the victory he's given me. I believe it and I live it and I take it as mine because he's given it to you. Some of us never taste our victory or live in it because we do not let go of the past. Amen. Many of us do not live out the victory, do not taste it, do not experience it because we hold on to the past, even as reborn Christians. And to live out the victory that God has given us, we need to let go of the past and embrace our new victorious future in Christ. It doesn't become yours unless you take it. It doesn't become yours unless you embrace it. Unless you choose to believe that you have victory in Christ. I have often felt this thing is impossible for me to do. I do not have the ability in myself. I do not have it. But then by blind, excuse the word, stupid faith, I step out and I say, God, if it's a flop, it's a flop. But I'm putting my faith out. I'm going to do it. Because there's a small little voice in me that says, you've given me the victory. And then I step out and do it. And it's a phenomenal success. Because there's so little of me in that situation. I'm saying, God, it doesn't come from me. It comes from you. But I had to embrace the victory he's given me already. I had to make it my own. I had to take it up for myself. The next symbol of the beaker being raised up as a symbol of salvation is it's a trophy. It's a trophy. And a trophy says, it says it resembles a reward and an identity and inheritance in Christ. Because a trophy is a reward for something achieved. This beaker is a reward saying you have tasted and seen God's salvation. And he's rewarding you today, my son and my daughter. I'm rewarding you today. And this reward says your identity is in me. Your inheritance comes from me and is in me as Christ. We need to live these gifts of God out. To display them and to live them out is to give back to God. The trophy that he's given you as his child is who you are in Christ. It's your inheritance and your identity. The cup we lift up to the Lord, that trophy can be used, that which is given us can be used for honorable or dishonorable purposes. 2 Timothy 2 verse 20 to 21. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Who wants to be a vessel for honor? I want to be a vessel for honor. And therefore I want to say, God, let that which you have done for me and in me be a trophy of your goodness for the whole world to see. And that is how I am giving back to you, my God. That's how I give back to you. Let's look at the second thing that he said regarding giving back. The first he says is, I will lift up a cup. This is Psalm 116, verse 13. I will lift up a cup symbolizing his salvation. I will praise the Lord's name for saving me. We've discussed the different aspects of the cup being raised. Now, the next aspect is, the second one is, I will praise the Lord's name for saving me. That's 13b. Praise the Lord for saving me. He's still answering the question of how to give back to the Lord. We can only praise somebody when he enjoys absolute priority in our lives. We're still answering the question, how do we give back to God? We give back to God when he's such a priority in your and my life that I can praise him for saving me every second of every day. We can only praise the Lord when he enjoys our full attention and devotion. And you are conscious of him. We live our lives so often being totally unconscious of God. When a problem hits our lives, we forget about God. And we lose consciousness of God. And remaining in consciousness with God means remaining in praising of the Lord. In praising God and saying, God, you are in control no matter what hits my life. No matter what goes right and wrong, I will keep praising you through thick and thin. So a person that praises is a person where Christ enjoys full priority in that person's life. As a person where Christ has the full attention and devotion. And where you are conscious of who and what he is. The third answer that he gives in how giving back to God, we see in verse 14. I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of all his people. We give back to God for what he's done for us by being accountable. We see it so clearly in this verse. I keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the presence of all his people. When you are accountable to God, you do what he asks of you. You are obedient blindly. No matter what the circumstances say opposite to what you're believing for, you're saying, God, I will keep my promises. I will be accountable to you, and I'll be accountable to the people that you have put my life, to make my life part of. I will be accountable to the people in whose lives I'm part of. We stick to our commitment to him is how we give back to God. We accountable to him is how we give back to God. We praise him by being conscious, aware, and by allowing him to be priority in our lives. We give back to him by raising up a cup of salvation with all those points we mentioned prior. To our commitment to the brethren for God, and to God for the brethren. To keep my promises before everybody is to have my commitment to the brothers for God's sake, and to God for the brothers' sake. I keep my commitment. James 2 verse 14 says, dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? The challenge this morning is, let's give back to God as he deserves. Let's give back to God to show forth appreciation for what he's done. Let's give back to God by being a display of him. Let's give back to God by being an invitation of him. That's how God says, you give back to me. That which I've done for you on this earth, I want you to show that which I've done for you. And let that be a raised up action, a show to the people around you that I can come and taste and see that which that person has tasted and seen as being good, as being of sustenance, of quenching my thirst. I can come and partake in their party, in their feast. That is how we give back to the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we just come to you this morning in the name above all names, Jesus Christ. And I know, Lord, each one of us want to give back to you. And I know each one of us have also failed in one area or the other. And while we're in this attitude of prayer, and I want to ask, who of you feel but you struggle to give back to God? It's really a battle for you, and you're not really, until now, you've not been enthusiastic to say, God, I want to be a display of who you are. I'm struggling with that in my life, in in embracing what you've done for me. I'd like you to stand up in your chair right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that person. Thank you. Just give it a few more moments here. More folks standing up saying, God, I struggle to appreciate you. I struggle to be thankful towards you because of hurts in my life, because of issues, because of not really realizing what you've done for me. All right. I'd like you to hold out your hands, the folks that are standing. Hold out your hands in front of you, please, like this, in a receiving mode. And I'd like all of us to pray this prayer with them, in unison, in agreement with them, saying, Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you this morning, just as I am. Lord, I'm sorry that I've neglected you. I'm sorry, God, that I've not been motivated to appreciate you. Father, unless you touch me, I can't change myself. Touch me from on high, Holy Spirit. Change me, Lord. Make me a cup symbolizing your salvation. Make me show forth your praise. Make me shine for you. Make me attractive to the world towards you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Lord, this morning, I cast off every heavy burden because you say your burden is light. Lord, I break every difficult yoke because you say your yoke is easy. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, you make me new. Change my heart. Turn me inside out, upside down, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to do two more songs with Vinesong. And I'd like to invite anybody that has any prayer requests to come to the front as we sing these two songs. I'd like to ask the cell leaders and the other leaders to come and pray with us for whoever comes to the front regarding any prayer request. Over to you, John.